This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, joining you every week, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy. We co-host Christ Together every weekend, 9 a.m. on Saturdays. And now, what time are we on the weekends,
I think
Ryan?
Noon?
I had it already. I was doing such a slick opening.
It was sort of slick.
We're at noon on Sundays now. So it's 9 a.m. on Saturdays, noon on Sundays. Listen to Christ Together Radio. Christ Together Radio is a show designed to bring to you what is happening throughout the Church of Western New York, as we believe God is on the move and his mission is being accomplished through many different ways in Western New York. And our role in this show is to bring that to you, to put it right in front of you, and maybe hopefully encourage you to get on mission with what God is doing and get involved in the church. Ryan, this week, I'm excited about this week. I saw this has been planned for, a month maybe ago. You sent some emails around, and we have some guys with us who have been called to plant churches through the CPI, which is the Church Planting Initiative of the Christ Together Network or the Church of Western New York. Mm-hmm. And maybe just tell us like how special it is for you to see this kind of first wave of what really has been a dream happening.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is it. I mean, this has been my dream. My passion is I believe that this is the beginning of just kind of a new level of partnership in the region. And I know that the Lord has been doing a lot over the last 8+ years in this region, and the people who have prayed for this to happen years before that. I mean, I want to make sure that we acknowledge that we're standing on shoulders of those who have prayed and labored before us, and we're incredibly grateful for that. But you know, I'm not sure that I've ever seen in a region a collection of churches that are diverse in their denominational affiliation and yet orthodox in their Christianity come together and get beyond the denominational barriers and say, look, we have a common table in that the table that we sit around is we want to plant churches. We have a common group of relationships. We have people that want to sit at that table and talk about planting churches. And now we have common resources. We actually have a fund that transcends denominationalism, and we've got people putting money into this fund and investing in church planting in this region, and it's incredibly exciting.
It almost sounds New Testament.
It does. It sounds very Nuevo Testamundo. But it is, it's one of those things that I think all of us have agreed that we've wanted to see this happen. But there's just this moment, almost like a serendipitous moment where just things just line up and it seems like the Spirit says, now.
Yeah.
I want to do it now. And I feel like that journey, it was about a year-long process of gathering larger churches together. Larger body of churches together, churches of very different sizes. And just saying, gang, what do we think about this? Do we want to do this? And I don't know if people remember this, but I would close each one of those meetings by asking a very specific question. Based on what we sense from the Holy Spirit, should we move forward to another meeting? And it was at the end of each meeting, because I felt like, hey, that it hits the Reform cats, it hits the it hits the Arminian cats, it hits the Holy Rollers, and it hits the the more conservative folks. Like, do we sense from the Holy Spirit that we should meet again? And I feel like in some ways, like we gained momentum out of that. And it kept moving and it kept moving, and so the fruit of that is for the first year that CPI has been in existence, we've raised $200,000, not negligible, and this year we've planted 5 churches, one which was already in existence, but just giving it a healthy shot in the arm. And we were also able to invest in 4 other churches that were invited to a vision night. And even though they didn't make it into the final round, we were still able to tangibly invest in that. And it hasn't just been in church planning, which has been exciting. Like, the reality is there have been some resources spent on just making sure that people are doing okay. How you doing? How you handling this? I mean, church planning is stressful. What are other ways that we can invest in you in terms of time, talent, treasure, and prayer? I'm just incredibly excited about it.
Yeah, but there's a lot to be excited about, and I know it hasn't. It's listening to it in 3 minutes. It sounds like it's been a just this beautiful garden of wonder that has happened, and it's not. These things don't just happen.
Yeah,
getting. It's like herding cats.
Yes.
Running a ministry or running an idea filled with a bunch of leaders in a room.
Yes.
There's that many ideas, as many as there are attending. And so it's very difficult to get everybody rowing the same way, but it's great to see that only God could do this and that that as he does it, we're able to join with him. And so I want to hear more about this, maybe some of the initial thought processes and maybe what God has done, maybe in ways that you've, Ryan, seen him work. And then we'll get to our pastors. Joining us in studio today, Rick Rouse. Sorry, my voice gave out. Rick Rouse from Akron Free Methodist Church, Chris Jew from Christ Central in Buffalo are going to join us in our first segment. And then Chad Rieselman, who's no stranger to our Christ Together audience, joined us a few weeks ago. Chad's going to join us, and we're going to talk about Lumber City Church a little bit later in the show. So I'm looking forward to the show and what God might do just in the hearts of people, just hearing stories of how he's worked through pastors and through the Christ, the Church Planning Network. Hopefully you're encouraged today as you listen, and that you'll stick around because you're going to want to hear from these guys. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy, joining you every week on Christ Together Radio, 9 a.m. and on Saturdays, and I'm going to say it every time, Ryan, until I get this right, noon on Sundays, 12 p.m., noon on Sundays. That's a change. It used to be at 11 a.m., but now you can listen to us at noon on Sundays, so 9 a.m. Saturday, noon on Sunday. Also, if you want to check us out online, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs right on the top of the WDCX website, and you'll see Christ Together Radio. You can listen to all of our past broadcasts and hear from different church planners, different people doing things in Western New York for the glory of God, and just lay people serving the Lord. It's just, it's really cool to look back, Ryan, and see all the different people that have been on, and just the different tentacles that reach out from the Church of Western New York as we join God on his mission. Today we're talking about the church planning initiative from the Christ Together Network, or from the Western New York Church. And very exciting, because this is kind of the initial phase one of this idea, and seeing it come to fruition is really cool. And maybe, Ryan, give us the backstory. We talked about it last segment just for a few minutes, but give us the backstory and the why and the purpose and the who and whatever you think is important for our listeners to know as we talk about the CPI.
Yeah. So maybe the best thing I could say is the idea of planting churches together was probably, and again, there may have been others doing this in this region before this. And so I want to make sure that that asterisk is there.
Right.
But the collection of churches that kind of exist today, there was kind of like a Kairos moment, a seizable moment that happened a handful of years ago. And this is when Dwight Smith had become more involved in Western New York. He had been coming, and he's a missiologist who spent half of his life overseas, half of his life in the U.S. And he really hit us upside the head with a 2x4, is the way I'd like to describe it for people. And just as a church of influence, what are we really doing to build relationships and to invest in other churches in the region? And at around this time 10 years ago, the answer was we didn't have a lot of relationships growing. But we began to go through this community, and we went through some material called renovation at the time. And coming out of one of those sessions, there was a pastor who's really well-respected in this region, a guy named John Hasselbeck. And he in that session, he kind of broke down and was like, I really feel like God is telling me to plant a church. And the details of that conversation kind of live in the ether. But what I recall of that was, he kind of basically, he told Dwight about it. And Dwight said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to help you plant a church. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, this group that's gathering, that this is what I'm talking about. Like, we got to help you plant a church. And what was crazy was they went back in and John shared his heart and talked about what he felt God was calling him to do. And everybody in the room said, we should figure out how to help you. And it was, the chapel was in that room, and there were, I think it was a total of 15 churches from 7 different denominations were in that room. And we helped to plant Northgate. And so when people ask John who planted his church, he'll say, oh, the Church of Western New York planted my church. And they're like, what? I've never heard of that. And he's like, oh, yeah, you have. You know the chapel? Yeah, they helped me. You know the tabernacle? Yeah, they helped me. And it was one of those things like, so John is from a more charismatic stream. And so there's just like this idea of like, could non-charismatic churches plant a more charismatic church? And it was like, yes, we can. We can do this. So that was kind of, as best I could describe it, I would say that was like the genesis of something starting. And from there, at the chapel, we had been a part of helping to plant the chapel on Elmwood, which eventually became Renovation Church. And then kind of just through a very loose cohort of partnerships, over an 8-year period, there were about 25 churches planted in this region. And that number is significant because when we were first trying to do Northgate, Dwight had said to us, if God is going to get a foothold in this region, like if he thinks saturation can happen, this is Dwight's words, he feels like we need to have one church for every 50,000 people that has this DNA that desires to see every man, woman, and child reached with the gospel. We hadn't done one at the time. And, I'm a math guy, as you were joking off air, right? And I'm going, well, almost 1.2 million people, that's 25 churches. Mm-hmm. And in about October of 2014, I remember going to Jerry Gillis and Daryl Largess, who's since gone on to be with the Lord. And we have this monthly meeting we're a part of, and just talking about what's going on in the region, what's going on internally, how are we doing. Pastor John Camardo was in those meetings, and I just said, hey gang, I don't know if you know this, but we accomplished kind of phase one of the church planting effort. And they were like, what are you talking about? I was like, well, here's the list of churches we've been connected to, and multiple churches have been connected to. And based on these relationships, this represents one church for every 50,000 people planted in this region over the last 8 years. And I remember Jerry going, who else knows this? And I'm like, I just found it out, yeah. So like I'm sharing with you guys. And I said, but I think we could use this to be a more intentional approach to planting churches together. And I remember Pastor Jerry going, yes, that's what we're going to do. We've got to figure out how to do this. That was about October of 14. And so we set up a meeting, I think, for March of 15. Was that about right?
It's about right, yes.
And so, Pastor Rick was there from Akron Free. Pastor Chad was there from Lumber City Church. And there were like, I don't know, maybe 50?
Close to 50, I think, yeah.
Probably 50 pastors were in the room. And I remember just sharing that with the group and going, gang, so here's what God's done. And here's what was crazy was, in that moment, I remember Chris Baldwin standing up and said, you know what? Here's what the Wesleyan Church has done in that period of time.
Yes.
And there were like 8 or 9 other churches. Oh, you were there. Yeah. And then I remember Pastor Brett Cockrell standing up, and he started listing refugee churches that had been planted in the city of Buffalo. And I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just going back to that moment. But you could just like look at each other and go, man, the Spirit's doing something here. And so that, as best I can recall, that's kind of how this happened. And so, yeah, that's my best recollection of all of that.
That's the good story. It really is. And it's important to understand that, because as we understand how this kind of just gradually morphed really through God's joining together of the right people at the right time, we can now kind of understand where we are, mm-hmm. and or better understand where we are. And that's what brings us here today. And I know we want to get to our guests that are in here. And so, Ryan, what do you having these guys in the room, and just watching what God is doing in different ways, different contexts. It's really, we have a great kind of eclectic context here, mm-hmm. of ministries that are doing things, and so that's what's cool. It's a true representation of what's happening with CPI.
Yeah, I mean, you got a Presbyterian, Korean Presbyterian. You got a non-denom. You got
Who knows?
You know, Baptists, yeah. A Free Methodist, yeah. and an AG. Yeah. I mean, the only thing missing is walking into a bar and exactly. then the punchline.
Where's
right?
the punchline?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. We were against strong drink. The Methodists are here, and the so anyway. But one of the things that I mean, this is it. You know, like we are within Orthodoxy, and we're very different in the tribes. And God's helping us figure this out. That's the testimony of the Holy Spirit in
it
all
is,
of this.
It is.
So. Yeah.
Well, who do we want to pick
say,
on first?
Yeah, I mean, what I would love is, I think we got 5 minutes left in this first segment.
That's correct.
I think it'd be cool to kind of hear from Pastor Rick and Pastor Chad just about just their experience with that meeting as a whole, in leading up to what CPI is today.
So my experience was, I thought about this for a while, Ryan. I think we met 5 years ago, Tim Hortons on Transit, and we began to share like-mindedness.
Yeah.
And I love church planning, so to sit down with a group of people of like-mindedness that just cared about planting churches and building the kingdom of God was exciting for me that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then to watch it actually evolve, you know, and I don't know, it's just like if you like baseball and mm-hmm. you're with people that like baseball, there's just energy.
Yeah.
And I love church planting, you know, and so to be with Chad and some of the other guys was really huge, and to hear your heart was just big. And to realize that I've always felt like this was a movement of God, that this was something that God was doing, because when I went into ministry a while back, we had our silos, and you stayed within your silo. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't even like to fellowship too much with churches in our own tribe because you might lose people, you know. But it was like, you know, so now to...
that actually seems more dangerous.
It was. It was a little bit.
Slide over there.
And so now to see this has been exciting.
Yeah,
so.
That's cool. Chad, what's your recollection of the time?
Well, you know, being, I guess, the outsider with the very unchurched background, mm-hmm. when you see alignment and unity, you can frame it a little bit better for the unchurched world,
right?
In such a way that they get the unity of the church, I think, better than we do from the outside in, and our picture of that from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
So coming into it with sort of this expectation of that's what the church should do on earth. You know, John chapter 17 was, you know, in the first book I read that I slowed down there and thought, this is really what I would like to be a part of, is God unifying all of his people on earth to be a one voice, one love in the world. So that when we align all these things and have a clear picture, I respond very well to a 2x4 upside the head. That's how I was raised.
That's
so
that's, is that why you called it Lumber City?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. But you know, if we have a clear picture and very distinct rails to run on in that overarching orthodoxy, the unity of the church, we're going to tap into things that may have never been seen in America or on Earth. I really believe that Buffalo could be the place that becomes the most desirable place in all the world to live because of the redemption, not just of all the people, but how God redeems everything as he's doing that work. As we come together and say, mm-hmm. no, it's about Jesus and what he's done, not about this denomination and what they've done and my stream and what they've done and how we believe this. It's really that nugget of the gospel of love, of that unity that really kind of drew me into it to say, yes, I can easily see a picture of where that goes in the future.
Yeah. I think what's exciting about all of this is there just the energy that I'm like in this room right now. I'm like, yeah, so when are we doing this again? Right.
Yeah.
So for me, like what's exciting about that is you run into a situation where we're you know, basically we have this opportunity to do this next year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that. Like this, we've got a rail now where collaboratively churches are coming together and you know, I mean, understandably there's people the first year I think there were some people that said, well, let's observe and let's just kind of see how this plays out, but there were enough stakeholders involved in this to go, yeah, but we're in. And I just look at, like, CPI is happening next year. And, you know, part of my job description now is I'm going out and talking to other churches saying, you got to be a part of this. You got to be into this. And so it's just a really exciting time to be a part of stuff like this. Rick, I'd be interested. I mean, you've been doing this for a while. I know you have a heart for church planting, but the reality is, like, to have a heart for it, you've been doing it. And when did you come to Western New York, and why did you stick around?
Oh, man, now I'm going to show my age, Ryan. But we came in 82.
Okay.
And so church planting was a little different back then. Mm-hmm. We didn't know as much as we know right now. We just kind of dug it out back then and put it on our back,
right,
and did it that way. But it's not that way now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of resources that we have in Akron. This has been my heart since I went to Akron. It was revitalizing a church. And when I first went there, you know, it was a church that had gone from 250 in morning worship down to 60.
Yeah.
And the scripture that I clung to was, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" When Philip told Nathaniel the other way around. And I was like, "Can anything good come out of Akron?" And yeah. God has blessed it. And we've been able to plant three churches in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
So Medina really becomes number four.
That's crazy.
And so the multiplication thing is something, you know, that's always been there in my heart, I guess. And
yeah.
That's Pastor Rick Rouse from Akron Free Methodist Church. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. We're going to have more about the CPI Network and hear from our other pastors in just a few minutes.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard, or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. You can listen to Christ Together Radio at 9 a.m. every Saturday here on WDCX and at 12 noon on Sundays. Again, right here on WDCX. And also, if you want to know more about Christ Together Radio, go to WDCXradio.com. Click on Christ Together Radio. You'll find it under the Programs tab. Click on Christ Together Radio. Hey, send us an email. You have questions, you have suggestions of things you'd like to hear about. Maybe church questions, theological questions. Maybe you're going through something and you need some prayer. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to connect you with people. If you want to get connected with something you've heard on Christ Together or one of the churches, one of the ministries, let us know. We can certainly get that email and that information to someone who can help you. And that form is right on the Christ Together page. We're talking church planting today. We've talked about it many times here on Christ Together, but we have several pastors in the room who have been recent recipients of the benefits of this collaboration of churches called the CPI in the area, who are coming together to help support church planting. And Ryan, two of them are joining us in studio today. We heard from Rick Rouse, and also Chris Jew is here with us too, right?
Yeah, Chris comes to us by way of California. And he's planting, it's actually kind of a cool story. He's planting a church by the UB North campus, mm-hmm. reaching predominantly second generation Koreans, correct?
Second generation Asian Americans predominantly.
Okay.
So there's a mix, Koreans, Chinese, Filipino.
Yeah. So share a little bit with us about your background and kind of how you came to feel called to plant here in Western New York. I know that I know a little bit about that in terms of going through the process of CPI with you. But for our listeners, they may not know much of anything. And so we want to get them up to speed on the who, what, where, when, why, and how of Chris Jew.
Yeah, so I grew up in Southern California in Orange County, and a lot of sunshine, a lot of days at the beach, a lot of fun times.
Okay, stop.
So,
are you a surfer?
I'm not. People ask that, but I was a bodyboarder back in the day.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was about 5 years ago that my wife and I, we were looking to find a call for a full-time ministry position. I just graduated seminary, and we had hooked up with this church in Buffalo, in Clarence Center, called New Hope Presbyterian Church. It's a first-generation Korean-speaking congregation that was looking for a pastor to shepherd their English-speaking ministry. If you're not familiar with immigrant churches, there's oftentimes a big divide between the English-speaking second generation and the ethnic language first generation. It's hard for them to minister to their kids and the people that come to them, that international marriages or through the campus. And so my wife and I really felt a strong call to Buffalo. We had researched a bit of the demographics, and we were moved by the lostness of the region and how it just seemed like there was too many people with not enough churches, really, mm-hmm. Just not enough good ministry happening. And so we had taken a lot of time to pray about it, to talk with the congregation that was here. We felt that there was a perfect fit. The church had been looking for a pastor for about a couple of years and gone through a number of applicants. And we really, I think both the church and our family felt a strong sense of God's calling for us to the area. And the church had a vision in those years, about 5 years back, to plant this English-speaking ministry as a separate church. And they had hired me to come and do that, to guide them to a place where they were getting more mature, that they would be becoming financially independent, getting to a place where the leadership could sustain being on their own. And by God's grace, I think he had a favor to do that with us. And here we are.
Yeah, that's great. So take us to just the experience of planting a church here in Western New York. What has that looked like? How has that happened for you? And why in and around the North Campus of UB?
Yeah, so the process for us has been an interesting one. It's been unique in that there's been a measure of negotiation and work with the parent congregation so that we can try to help them to do well without us. We were very much involved in their youth and children's ministry, and we didn't want to leave them shorthanded just as we were coming out. And it's also really largely involved networking with other churches and pastors and leaders in our area. The ethnic minority churches, I think, are oftentimes really secluded from the wider body of the church in their regions. And this is one of the reasons why I think especially Korean-American churches in areas like Buffalo have a hard time thriving, because they're just so alone, and they're trying to learn everything themselves and figure out ministry by themselves. So partnership and networking has been a really big blessing, I think, that God has sent our way, in large part through Church of Western New York. That's been a tremendous resource for us. So planting up in the UB area, most of the people that are coming into the area that are Asian American are coming in through academics, a lot of students, a lot of grad students, a lot of faculty. And so when we've searched around about, you know, where Asian Americans are migrating and settling, in that Amherst 14221 kind of area is really the sweet spot for us. And so our ministry is in a lot of ways, and in a number of years, has been focused on the campus ministry at University of Buffalo. And that's been a tremendous source of outreach for us, in that we get students that are here for a few years and they're sent back oftentimes to New York City or wherever they're from throughout the state. So we really feel like through us, God has allowed us to be a kind of a pollinating ministry throughout the state, where we don't fully know how they're affecting the rest of God's kingdom, but we do have confidence that there are churches and cities that are receiving better young men and women that are missional, that are more mature in their faith, because they've passed through our ministry during their time of school, their grad school, or however long they've been here.
You know, it's kind of interesting. So having done my graduate work at UB and in my department, I mean, one of the things that you're saying, I mean, totally resonates with me. My department, by the time I was at the higher level of statistics for my final year, there were hardly any Anglo students in the program. Most of my partners, my cohort of students were Korean, and some of the best publications I was connected to, you know, it's Korean co-authors, you know, because they're phenomenally gifted and intensely academic. I mean, the culture that we were in, it was like I was really striving to keep up with their capacity mathematically in particular. But one of the things that just was really hard for me at the University of Buffalo is, having come to know Jesus in college back in the Midwest, you know, Buffalo, the university, with as diverse of a population as it is, the light of the gospel is, I mean, there's people trying to quench that all over the place on that campus. And so just the idea, I know one of the things that really stuck out to me in terms of, one, I think I remember Dan Trippi telling me about you. Dan he's a part of the CPI team, and he's a dear friend. And I just remember thinking about the target of people, and I probably shouldn't use that word target, but just the calling to the people that you were trying to reach. And I literally had visuals of cohorts of students that I was with going, yes, God, this is incredible. And I feel like there's two places specifically for me that the Lord has really broken my heart for in the region. One is the campuses of the University at Buffalo, because of being a student there, being a professor there, being vested there, and just knowing the general sense of lostness that exists there. And it just gives me great hope and excitement of your presence, and hopefully an additional presence of more and more folks just like you. Right. Wanting to do the work of the ministry and tangibly engaging into the lostness that is at the University of Buffalo's North Campus in particular, where you're at.
Yeah, and I think for Asian Americans, there's a unique experience that we can provide that is new, even in major metropolitan cities. I think Asian Americans are so used to being the minority, even in their home churches. In churches where their parents' generation will speak Korean or Chinese or a different language, they're oftentimes relegated to a youth ministry kind of status or a college ministry status, and they don't see a future for themselves in terms of leadership or in deeper ownership of the church. And they come out into perhaps a Anglo or white, predominantly Caucasian church, and they're still the minority. Yeah. And so for the first time for many of our people, they're allowed to be a majority culture inside their church, and a lot of them actually struggle with a lot of guilt for that. They feel that that's a kind of selling out in order to have a church experience in which they can kind of be a majority culture. Yeah. So in a way, we're almost a reverse multi-ethnic church, in that we will sort of hit, I think, some of those multi-ethnic percentages, but it's going to be flipped with at least in a broader culture sense, a minority culture being the majority. So it'll be the Caucasians coming in that feel like the minority. It'll be the the more westernized people coming in feeling like they need to adapt. And in that way, I think, without apology, I think that that allows us to minister to some deep spiritual places in the lives of our congregation members.
It's so important when people own something. And I don't mean they own it as it's their very own, but I'm saying they take ownership. They're invested in something that they feel like they can reach out to their neighbors, their people around them, their world of influence, that they can bring them into something that they're intrinsically involved in, not just a kind of a passive member of. That's got to be huge for you.
Yeah, and I think one of the great sort of limitations and challenges of my generation, kind of a millennial generation, the second generation church, is that we never take ownership. We rarely feel that there's a need to, because our parents' generation has been so generous with their finances and service. We oftentimes feel that there's no space to, because if you're English speaking, it's going to be a significant challenge to get on a board of elders or become a deacon and work within the life of the church. And so we realize that this hits in some ways a bit of a smaller niche in Buffalo, but at the same time, our members have felt a real strong challenge to evangelize and to share their faith and bring people to church, which so rarely happens in their home church context. We can be finally a more missional church body.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. That's Chris Jew, pastor of Christ Central Buffalo. They're actually in Amherst, kind of nesting out of Restoration Church right now. He's one of the award recipients for this year, for the first of many years of the church planting initiative here in Western New York. One of the things I wanted to do, in the final few minutes of the segment, I just wanted to kick it over to Chad Rieselman from Lumber City Church. He's on the CPI subcommittee. And I just wanted to just get your perspective, Chad. I mean, I know some positives that I remember seeing and hearing from Chris in this process, but I want to take you back to the vision night. What did you enjoy most about what you were hearing and what he was saying?
Well, the work that God is calling Chris to do, I think, is a reflection, if you would use it as a test tube of what God wants to do along the lines of the grander story. The transition from generation to generation in churches isn't just happening in these cultural churches. It's really the state of the American church all over the place. So the way that you guys are sort of confined to that culture, and the way that that's the outcomes of that are helping to show us. Like, these are some things that are just true about any church in going from one place to another, in where the younger folks are coming in and trying to look for places of ownership and stuff. So for me, it was hearing from Chris gave me a better view of the larger picture of what it looks like to multiply churches, to help not just plant new churches out of these churches, but to help transition churches into that new era, that new season that they're going into. So in that sense, it made a whole lot of sense to me, because that we would align with Chris, because again, it's a smaller picture of the bigger thing that's going on. The last place you would think that the gospel would take off is in academia, in a college. Those are the first places that the Holy Spirit runs to. I mean, it's classic the theme through Scripture that God He makes beauty from beautiful things. No, He makes beauty from ashes. Those places where you would never expect it. Places that have gigantic concrete silos downtown.
That's it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Places like that.
I was giving him the break sign. We do have to go to a break.
Again, I and respond done. Well to very clear Dude, direction.
That was really impressive, actually.
Like on a dime.
Yeah, he was like, and that.
And that's a 2x4.
Yeah, that's my 2x4.
That's a 2x4. Well, that's a lot of fun. And if you want more fun, we have one more segment to go, and we're going to wrap this up and hopefully put a nice ribbon on this show for you. And you're joining us, or you're listening to Christ Together Radio as you join us on mission for the gospel in Western New York. And if you want to hear more, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brent Larson alongside Ryan Cozy. Joining us in studio today, we have three pastors who are involved in the Christ Together Network in the Church of Western New York, and just watching God move in different ways throughout the church planting initiative. They're either on the board or planting churches this coming session of the CPI, and have been awarded some of the funds to be able to plant churches. And Ryan, it's just so cool to see how We keep talking about it, but we can't underscore the uniqueness of this, especially, and this is one thing I thought of, especially in the cold north. I just saw a Barner statistic. I think it was a Bible knowledge or something like that, and Buffalo's just, it didn't go well for Buffalo or any northern city, really. Yeah. But it didn't go well for us. But so to have a region that is so biblically illiterate or just unchurched, to have people coming together, perhaps out of necessity, of survival, coming together to plant churches, it's just really cool to see it. And it's not just talk, because a lot of times in the Christian community, there's probably a legitimate critique that there's a lot of talk, not a lot of action. And it's cool to see the action happening.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that kind of holds up, and this is across disciplines, but like yeah. when there's financial constraint, yeah. or when there's where there is a lack of plentiful resources, actually innovation is high. We see this, you can see this in industries. Mm-hmm. They call it disruption mm-hmm. Theory, like when people actually can disrupt a marketplace. Yep. Now, I'm not comparing church planting to disrupting a marketplace, but here's what I am saying in this, is I'm saying, I think that part of the Spirit moving here is there is perhaps a deeper sense of desperation. Mm-hmm. That we are, you know, you cross the bridge to go into Canada, and you talk about, like, you'll hear demographers talk about the church is dead in Western Europe. And, you know, in many senses, what they mean by that is, you know, parents don't even lead their children to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so now, is the church dead in Europe? No, I don't think it's dead. But I think that the ability to regenerate just through family line and passing the gospel on, those are not guarantees. And so, but what's coming out of Western Europe is a desperation and a very unique response to, while that's an interesting way to do church, like that's pretty interesting. You can make the argument for the house movement being most predominantly set in Western Europe. You go across the bridge here into Canada, and you feel like you're looking at what Europe. You know, like there's a challenge in Canada.
Sure.
I mean, we're right outside of the GTA. And I mean, you go to a lot of places and you don't see a lot of just, yeah. you know, intentionally present gospel related stuff.
Great churches in the GTA.
Phenomenally.
However, for the size of the population.
Yeah.
Very unchurched.
It's tough. It's tough. And in the Northeast, I feel like we're a chip shot away from that. Right. Yeah. You know, geographically and. and metaphorically, like I can see it, right? And so what's kind of coming out of this, I think some of these pockets are, you know, we don't have a ton, but we have a ton. We don't have a ton, but out of that desperation comes innovation. And I think this is what's kind of happening in our region. One of the other award winners that we had for CPI is Pastor Rick Rouse, and the folks at Akron Free Methodist are going to be planting
Medina
Free Methodist.
Medina Free.
Yeah, Medina Free. So, Rick, you're one of the award recipients, and you had a unique spot because part of the story was Rick was initially on the subcommittee. And then as the applications came in, we saw that there was an application from Akron Free. And I remember thinking, I'm super excited. But I also remember thinking, okay, how do we handle this?
Now, the subcommittee makes decisions on who.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Gets the funding.
Sorry about that. Yeah, okay. There's a subcommittee of seven folks. Chad Rieselman is on that panel. I'm on that subcommittee and a handful of others. And so basically, application comes in, and you know, we've got to kind of figure out, like, how do we score these? How do we? And there's a whole system in place, and I feel like it's worked pretty well for the most part. I think it's gone really well. But Pastor Rick, his application came in, and we were kind of like, okay, we're super excited, but we also want to do this above board, and so. Rick stepped off of the subcommittee, and then his application was vetted, and he ended up being one of the award recipients. And so just tell me a little bit about this journey. I mean, it's not like you're a 25-year-old right out of seminary, just eager to plant churches. Why are you crazy enough to do this again?
Oh, I think that this has been in my heart, you know. And so if I went back, you know, there was a time when we first started planting churches at Akron that I really feel God spoke to us about five churches in 10 years. And then things got successful at Akron. And so I was at a conference last October, and success has a way of dampening faith if you're not careful. And like when I first came in 82, it was like, I think I've said this before to you, Ryan, I would have charged hell with a water pistol, you know, and I was
and
like,
I would have followed you.
I was like, when I was at that conference, and this one part guy was just dealing with me over what's this next few years going to look like, and are you doing stuff that you can't do without God's help, you know, and at the same time, Medina was in the background, and I came out of that conference feeling it was God's will. I came home, you know, Pam and I, my wife, we drove up to Medina, drove around, sat in the Tim Hortons parking lot, because that's where Jesus is in Medina. And so we sat there.
Or anywhere.
Anywhere. And we prayed about this and came out of that time, you know, when I asked her what she thought, she said, I think this is right, and I was feeling that too. And so she just said, So I'm going to hold you to this. We need to get after this. And
your wife said that.
When she says that, it's like saying sick 'em to a dog. You know, it's like now there's something behind this. And so that's kind of where it was birthed.
Yeah.
You know, in reference to CPI, if I could just say this.
Yeah.
So what I realize is that we're better together. You know, that if we can put down some of our differences and figure out what we got in common, let's say Akron. We could maybe plant five churches in 10 years. Now, CPI can do that in 1 year, you know, if we'll join together and pool our resources and realize that we're in this together, we're building the kingdom of God. And so that became a real draw for me about being a part of this team.
Yeah. You know, you said something that it's a powerful thing when our wives are like, you better get after this, you know, and you just, I mean, those are moments that you just don't forget those moments.
No.
And it, you know, ministry is, it's hard. It stresses your families. It's not the easiest thing to be engaged with. And you know, most of us, we don't get into this for the money. You know, we get into it as we feel called to do it, feel called to be a part of it. So it's just powerful to, you know, thank God for your wife, you know, and just getting in there. Absolutely. And God using her to challenge you and just to be an excellent teammate in the process. And it was fun meeting her as well. You know, in the process of vetting candidates, you meet spouses, you kind of learn about family. And I know for me, there was a friend of mine, I won't name his name because I don't know that he would want to know this, but he's known you for years and he's known your story. And he just said, that guy's one of my heroes. Oh. And it's just super cool to hear that. And I know, like, And one of the things that was so great, we talked about this vision night that happened in February. You know, we've never done anything like this before. So there's like equal parts excitement and trepidation. You know, like, what if I screw this up? Right. You know, like, right? And so there's a point at which you go, you know what, God, I'm trusting you in this, and this is going to happen. But there's just some special moments that I'm going to, I don't know, Chad, how you feel about this, but I'm going to take some special moments away from that. I think the two that really stick out to me for the gentlemen that are here, for Chris, I remember he said something, and it brought the house down, but basically he said, I feel like our church plant is like an oops baby.
Yeah.
We started messing around with evangelism, and we got pregnant.
You know, like, that was awesome.
It was like, and I remember going, Lord, this is it. Like, these are the stories that we're going to remember, and they're stories that build momentum. But I also know, like, watching you be up there, it gave me, like, man, this guy's not done. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you talked about it. Like, you could, Akron's a great church, and you could keep doing things with success.
Yeah.
But you're listening to God's call on your life. And when you watch a guy who's more seasoned than the other guys that stood up there.
You could just say old. It's really fine.
He's very offensive.
But you look at it, and you know, like, you know, I'm going, I'd follow that guy.
Yeah.
I'd follow that vision.
I trust
that. Yeah. So
that same kind of thing, Ryan, stuck out to me, just watching it and really not having been involved in the inner circle of it. So just being there kind of as a spectator, also involved with this. So kind of just watching through it. I thought, a number of things popped in my mind. Number one, these are guys who are filled with integrity. You could just feel it in the room that there's guys that are in it for the right reasons. Mm. And the second thing that stuck out was just the broad nature of who was in that room and who was applying. Right. I mean, we have a Free Methodist and a Presbyterian here in the same room, both doing the same things, and it's like there hasn't been a fight or a wrestling match or, right. You know, it's so cool. To see how only God can do that.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that it's a God thing.
Yeah.
And that's the oops baby of that whole the whole idea.
Yeah, those were great takeaways for me with that time. Maybe in closing, Chad, just your perspective on Rick. And we're going to come back next week. We've got a few minutes left in this segment, but we'd love to hear from you about your perspective of Rick and just being on the subcommittee for CPI.
Yeah. Rick and I had, previous friendship just because of crossing paths a few times, and I remember various occasions when we were in the planning stages of CPI and trying to figure out how we would score things and how we would get our letter out to prospective church planters and all these things. All of the time we spent around the table planning that stuff out, praying for those things, just really buckling down and looking at what is the clear structure for figuring out how we properly steward what I would consider an enormous amount of resources for church planting in Western New York. And for Rick to often be pointed to speak last as the sage elder of the group. It was always he was always known as the sage elder of the group, and I really believe, Ryan, that that's why you brought him onto that team. And then to watch as time went on, how Rick became increasingly more of a proponent for what's going to happen next in all these things, to almost become not so much a sage elder, but somebody who was beginning to challenge the faith in the room. Mm. And when he came back with that with his application, it was like things kind of flipped a little bit in some of our hearts to say, wait a second, we're not just gonna do this and offer our expertise, our experience, and our brain power, but we're gonna actually get into this in a way that we're going to see what God really wants to do in this region. And again, for Rick in his season of life, caused for me to sit down and say, okay, Chad, you're 45. I mean, you've got a couple of years left, hopefully. this is a serious thing. You've said you're going to invest your life for church planting. Mm-hmm. Are you actually going to put your money where your mouth is and follow in the footsteps of somebody like Rick, who, like you said, could easily say, Akron free, man, you could ride that wave for another 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. But that's not what God wants to do. God mm-hmm. wants to reach lost people. And when God wants to reach lost people, for us to expect that the younger, more energetic guys are the ones that are going to be doing it, is I think we should take that out of the equation and say to every single person leading a church in Western New York, if you've got some resources, if you've got some breath left in your lungs, God wants to use that breath to speak the gospel and speak life into a whole new area that where Rick's eyes are, where our eyes aren't. It's not just because Rick has access at that table, but because his eyes are actually out there and looking into those dark places so that the gospel can be preached in those places. And it's all of us. It's not just the CPI. It's not just the young guys. It's not just the money, but it's the what God wants to do by faith. I love, Rick, what you said when it really kind of – I just tweeted it by – actually. are you doing things that you couldn't do without God's help? I think when you ask that question, it really puts you in the hot seat.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that challenges you today. If you're listening, you're listening to Christ Together Radio. That was Chad Rieselman. He's talking about Rick Rouse, who's sitting right next to him from Akron Free. And also joining us today was Chris Jew from Christ Central Church in Buffalo, ministering to Asian Americans, particularly from the UB area, but in the Amherst area. So, guys, it's been great to have you this week. Some of you are going to join us next week, so I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully we can have you all back, and we can kind of complete our discussion and go to what's next. I think that's huge, and it kind of relates to what you're talking about, Chad, is Rick saying, hey, what's God going to do through this thing? So let's talk about what's next and maybe just how things are going in your own context. This is Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy, our co-host, and we'll see you next week, same time, same place, 9 a.m. on Saturdays, 12 noon on Sundays, right here on WDCX.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ Together.